Hey y'all, I have a question for you. If you hear some of these Bible stories that we listen to in church, do you ever like put yourself in those situations and start to think about how actually crazy and mind-blowing these Bible stories are? Well, if you do, you're not alone. I do too. And honestly, so does my friend Claudia. And on this episode, we decided to sit down and have a conversation about these Bible stories and how crazy they are, but then at the same time, how we can get inspiration from them and apply those inspirations in our lives. And at the end of the day, what we were trying to say is that the God who performed those crazy miracles and mind-blowing miracles back then is still the same God of right now. And I know it's been a while since I released that episode, and we have a lot to talk about, but we're gonna do all of that. Before that, I just want to introduce this episode as a comeback, as a comeback after the long break. Just introduce this episode to you. So I really, really hope that you enjoy my conversation with my very good friend, Claudia. Before we get into the conversation, I just want to say that the song that we were discussing is My God Is Still the Same, because on this podcast, whatever that we talk about is going to be about a song. Like, there's going to be a song in there somewhere. So the song is called My God Is Still the Same and is by Santus Real. It was written by Benji Cowart, Chris Roman, Dustin Lawley, and Josh Brownlee. It was released in 2001, and so that's the song that we talked about. I hope you really enjoy the conversation and you take some gems and nuggets with you. Like I said, we're gonna talk about why I've been gone for so long, but before then, enjoy this conversation with my good friend Claudia. Hey girl, thank you for doing this with me. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well too. Congratulations on graduating.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. This is not the first time we're having a conversation about music. You joined me on my radio show at BirmFM at the University of Birmingham, and we've been talking about music and how the lyrical content of music inspire us and affect our lives and everything. Would you want to tell the audience what that experience was for you and how you felt about it?
Yeah, so the radio show was so much fun. That was the first time that we'd ever been on radio because we went like our gift society when you reached out to us. And so yeah, I feel like even just like being in the room and like seeing with the headphones, like your little DJ booth. Or I don't know what you were doing, but it was just so cool. And so even just the fact that there's a Christian like radio show, you play even gospel music, like I had no idea. And it was just so inspiring to see and like uplifting and such a fun thing that we got to be a part of and just speak about music.
Thank you for doing that with me. I really appreciate it. So to kind of set the conversation into, the whole conversation, I just wanted to ask, how influential is music, particularly gospel music, in your life? Like, how often do you listen to it? And when you do listen to it, what does it do for you?
So yeah, I would say music is probably most influential. Like I just like to listen to it whenever, even if I need like an uplifting spirit, like especially for gospel music. I think yesterday I was listening to it like in the morning just to really connect with God and like just have it playing, or even as you're cleaning, like it just uplifts your mood. And so I feel like whenever there's free time, whether you're walking or like showering or whatever it is, just to be able to like set the tone for the day, because music, it's so powerful. And that's why you speak about this kind of stuff. It really, you can change your mood and it can really redirect the tone for your day, or even just like amplify the feelings that you really have.
I like to ask people this question because I genuinely want to know how many people pay attention to the lyrics of the music that they listen to, because literally the whole foundation of this show is to just draw your attention to the fact that the lyrical content of gospel music is very important, and it's not just about the beat or the artist. Is Chandler Moore, is Dante Moore, that's all good, but like, what are they saying, and how is what they are saying impacting your life? Like, what experiences can you relate that they are trying to communicate through their songs? Like, what solutions are they giving you to basic life problems? So like, when you listen to music, do you find yourself being able to pick up on these things, like maybe relate to their experience, or hear a lyric and you'd be like, oh, I'm going through this and this is the solution to what I'm going through? Like, are you able to pick up on those things?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like probably for the most part, when I first listen to a song, it's like the beat that draws me, and like I can sometimes just get lost in the beat and like not pay attention to the lyrics, and like maybe like a few more times I listen to it, I'm like, wait, you would say that the whole time, like that's so good. But no, like sometimes I feel like when you need it, that's just like that, those lyrics that like they just pop out to you, and like, you know what, even if it's something so simple, like let me choose something like, oh, worship while you wait, Jireh by my vicinity. Yeah, just like you can really just like, I feel like depending on what time of your life you're in, like even if you've had a song over and over again, like you just pick up on that one lyric and like that just hits so good. But yeah, I feel like this show has also like helped me to pay attention to the lyrics, where like I can definitely just get lost in the beat as well. Like I would say that I'm one of those people.
Yeah, we love the beat, like the beat, the rhyme, everything, we love it. But they all come together to form the experience, so we can't necessarily pick one out of the other. It has to be a whole holistic experience so that we know we're feeding ourselves the right thing that we need to continue to grow in the Lord.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. So we were on the radio show and we were talking about something, and then for some reason we started talking about how weird the, not weird, but like mind-blowing the stories that we hear from the Bible are. And then we decided to do a show speaking about some of the mind-blowing stories in the Bible and how, again, weird and strange. Yeah. They are when we hear them right now, but unfortunately we were not able to do it on radio, so I invited you to come join me on my podcast so that we would have that conversation. So that is the conversation we're going to have, that we have a song, and then we're going to use the song to talk about some of the crazy mind-blowing Bible stories that we've heard over and over again that has become so familiar, but then when you actually listen to the story, you know that this is just so crazy. So that's what we're going to talk about. But then before we start having the conversation, I just wanted to say that at the end of the day, what we're trying to say is that God is still the same, which is basically the title of the song that we'd be using to tell the story, that the God in the past who did those crazy miraculous things and touched people's life in that way is still the same person. Like, he's still the same God that we are serving right now, and so if he was able to do that before, he's able to do that today. So I'm just gonna go ahead and introduce the song and then we'll get into it. You ready?
Okay, awesome.
All right, so the song that we're talking about, the title is My God is Still the Same, and the artist is Santu's Real. And so I'm gonna go ahead and read out the first verse, and then you would give us the crazy Bible story that you think goes with the first verse, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. So the first verse says, I'm quoting directly from the lyrics. It says, just ask the waves if they are stilled at the mention of his name. They will say, my God is still the same. Ask the walls if they still fall at the mighty sound of praise. They'll say, my God is still the same. So when I heard this lyric, I think the general theme that I got from the first verse is the fact that he's trying to communicate that God still has authority. You know, he has authority to calm the waves. He has authority to crumble down walls if the need be. So I feel like the theme of that verse is authority. So do you have any mind-blowing Bible stories that you personally like that depicts the authority of God?
Yeah, so when I had that lyric, or like thought of this topic idea, the first story was like related to that lyric, and it was with Jesus commanding the storm in Mark 4:35-41. And so in this story, I think Jesus and the disciples are on a boat, I think they're crossing the lake. And so Jesus is sleeping on the boat where like a massive storm comes, it's like shaking the boat, like, you know, everything's like flooding in, like water's flooding into the boat. And so like the disciples, they're on it and they're like panicking, like, what do we do? Like, they're looking at Jesus just sleeping there, like, okay, like, do we wake him? Like, we're about to die, like, what's happening? And so yeah, they finally just like wake up Jesus, like, he's like, we're gonna die, like, you know. And yeah, Jesus, he just gets up and he's like, he just rebukes the wind and the waves, just tells the storm to like, okay, stop. And then it stops, like, just quickly after. And so even the disciples after, like, they fear this man. They're like looking at him like, who is this man that's on our boat, you know, that has the, who has the power and the authority just stop wind and waves, like, whenever he wills. And so that's a pretty crazy story, just to like, I don't know, imagine that in real life, you look like it's storming outside and someone next to you just says like, stop, and then, you know, everything clears up. So
what's funny is, as we are recording this episode right now, there's actually like wind blowing by, like, the weather in UK is just terrible.
Oh,
it's just very, I don't know if a storm or it's a wind, it's just, I don't know, probably a crazy coincidence. But I really like that story too. But like, whenever I hear that story, the first thing that comes into my mind is like, why was Jesus sleeping now? Like, he was in the middle of a storm, and like you said, the waters were like flooding in the boat, and they were like, I don't know if you've watched those Jesus movies where they show like that particular scene, and you can see them frantically trying to take the water out of the boat back into the sea. Like, everything is frantic, it's raining, there's like lightning, and your man is just asleep.
Just napping, living his best life.
Bro is just asleep. Like, how do you sleep in the middle of something like that? It's completely insane. Like, everybody would look at him and look at him weird, like, who are you?
Yeah, like, the entire crew is running around crazy, and you just,
it's such a crazy story. But then it perfectly depicts how he just stood up and said a few words and everything just calmed down. And then he looked at the disciples and they're like, you men of little faith, first of all,
first of all, it was all good until my socks got wet. It was all funny games, but then fish in the bowl, you know.
This is a very, very big situation. Like, we're about to die. What do you mean, ye men of little faith? But like, that is what he said. He said they had little faith. Like, and every time I hear that story, sometimes I think, did Jesus tell them they had little faith because he wanted them to calm the storm by themselves? Or did he tell them they had little faith because he wanted them to wake him up earlier? Or yeah, did he tell them they had little faith because of how afraid they are? Like, what was the reason? Because I feel like them being afraid to die was a legit logical reaction to the situation that they were in. Like, it was super scary and they weren't supposed to be scared, right? So what was the thing that made Jesus tell them that they had little faith? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of that verse, like, I think it's like you said, where it was, he asked him like, oh, why were you so afraid? So I think it was this thing of like just lacking of trust, where Jesus, like, you know, God himself is in the boat with you, but you're still fearing for yourself, even though, like you said, like, it's a, like, they literally could have died. Which I also wonder, like, how long would Jesus have let it go on? Like, imagine they didn't call him, like, how long would he have just let them, like, I don't know, to what point? But yeah, I think it was just, he was just like, you should trust me, you know. I think that's where that kind of rebuke, like, that come, the idea of like lack of faith came from. Because if Jesus is with you, then what do you have to fear? Like, he can stop everything and anything.
What I get from what you're trying to say is that Jesus did not necessarily want them to try and calm the storm in their own strength. That wasn't the faith that he was talking about. He just wanted them to have faith in him that regardless of what happened, they were going to be okay. So there was no point of them responding to the situation in fear and trying to, like, thinking about how they were going to die, da 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 da. Like, regardless of what happened, they were going to be okay because Jesus was in the boat with them. That's what I'm getting from what you're saying. Okay. So obviously the song that we're discussing says, "My God is still the same," which means that the God who had the authority to calm the storm back then still has the authority to calm the storm right now. So looking at that story, what's the moral lesson that we can draw from that story and apply to our day right now? Because obviously we're not going to be in a storm with Jesus on a boat on a lake right now. That's not going to happen. But individually, we all have storms that we're facing, and sometimes situation is hard, like really, really hard. So what do you think is the moral lesson we can draw from that story?
Like, I like that the story shows that point of, like, okay, like, the water's going in. So, like, it could have easily just been like, okay, no, there's a storm in the distance, like, I'm gonna rebuke the storm in the distance, or like, there's waves far away, I'm gonna attempt to be still. But like, the disciples, they were getting wet, like, they were in it, they were being affected by this storm. Like, you could feel the fear and the panic. So even in our own lives, you know, when we see our own storm around us and we're wondering, like, hey, like, should it be like this? Like, it's affecting me, like, the waters are around me. But I think just, like, realizing that in our own lives, when Jesus is not outside our storm, like, he's right there in the boat with us, and just knowing the fact that if Jesus was there and he was able to calm the storm, he's still here and he's able to calm the storm. So, like, no matter what situation you're going through, he's not an outside, you know, spectator, but, like, he's right there next to you. And, like, if he's resting, if he's sleeping, then if the God of the universe is not worried, why am I worried? Let me also go lie down and sleep, even if the storms are raging around me. And so I think that's, you know, that's also a beautiful thing to take away.
That's amazing, because we can quickly get into the savior mode when we find ourselves in situations that we don't like. We can want to try and fix it ourselves and do it ourselves. But, like, I really love the fact that the disciples tried to fix it, and then they were like, okay, this is not working, let's go back to the master, you know. And even though he rebuked them and told them that they had little faith, he still solved the problem. At the end of the day, they were fine. So it makes so much sense to, well, I think the best thing to do is not even to try and solve the situation on your own, just quickly go back to the person who can solve it, right? But then if you find yourself trying to solve it and it's not working, it makes so much sense to just go to Jesus. Like, just go wake him up. Go wake him up, and he'll rebuke you just a little bit, but he will come through and he will solve the situation for you and use it for your good. So I think that's a really good life lesson that we can learn there.
Yes, even his rebuke is out of love. I feel like it's almost like seeing it from God's perspective. Like, he must, when we try to fix our own situation, it's like trying to scoop water out of a boat in a storm. It's like, what are these people doing? I'm right here. They're just trying to, it's not gonna work. So it's a good imagery.
He's like, it's side eyeing them, like, why are you stressing, you know?
Yeah,
you can do way better than that. Okay, I'm gonna skip the chorus and then go to the second verse, and then we'll come back to the chorus, and then we do the hook. So the second verse says, just ask the words you prayed in desperation. If they're heard, they'll say, my God is still the same. So the first part of the second verse, I think that the theme that is in that verse is talking about how God is a prayer answering God, because the first part of the second verse talks about something totally different, and the last part talks about something totally different. So we're going to talk about that, and then we'll come to the last part. So I think it's talking about how God is being is a prayer answering God, and then when you pray to him, he answers. So it says, just ask the words you prayed in desperation. If they are heard, they'll say, my God is still the same, which basically means that if God heard prayers in the past, he's still hearing prayers now. So do you have any Bible stories that depicts God as a prayer answering God?
For this one, I'm going to go for Paul in prison. So this was is in Acts 16, chapter 25. And so in this story, Paul was in prison many times, but I think this time he was in prison with a friend. And so they like chained, they're shackled with other believers as well. And so him and his friend like begin to just pray and praise God, like whilst they're in prison. They use prison as an opportunity to evangelize to like other prisoners also. And so, anyway, as Paul and his friend are praising and praying, there's an earthquake and that shakes the foundations of the prison to the point where the doors fly open. And then I think like the guard, he's sleeping outside, and the guard is like, "Kill me!" Like, you know, the doors are open, the prisons are gone. And Paul's like, "Come, like also like give your life to Christ also." And so, yeah, I think just imagine like, you know, you're just living in Israel somewhere, there's like a random earthquake comes, so you have no idea that somewhere God is actually opening the prison doors for like his people to come out because they prayed to him. And I don't know, just that whole ripple effect. God is a prayer answering God.
So first of all, Paul and Silas, they're in prison, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
and then they are praising and worshiping God. Like even that part that part of the story, like, it's so much, because how are you in prison, shackled? You've been beaten before, right?
Yep.
In shackles, in chains, in prison with no freedom whatsoever. And the first thing that came into your head is to pray and praise God.
Literally baffling. Like, how are you just joyful in prison? But like, that could only be the Holy Spirit.
How do you do exactly? That could literally only be the Holy Spirit, because that is not the normal human reaction to a situation like that at all.
At all, yeah.
At all. So we can take a page from just that. Like we can draw so much inspiration and so much lessons from just that part of the story, that no matter what situation that we're in, and it doesn't even matter how hard it is, like we can find it in ourselves through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to still pray and praise God in whatever situation that we're
mm-hmm.
in.
Yeah.
Do you think that and do you like, think that is sorry go ahead
oh no keep you keep going sir
I was about to ask, do you think that is something that you find easy to do or something that you find difficult to do? Like, what's your experience when it comes to situations like that?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think I've definitely like been through the process of learning to like praise and like praise during the hard seasons. Like I would say like I can sometimes, you know, be guilty of like circumstantial praise and worship when God is always worthy of it, like no matter what you're going through, you know.
Mm.
Or like how close you may feel to God in a moment, or like where you are. And so, yeah, even like just like the story, like it reminds me of the story of Job, where like everything destroyed him, but like he still like praised God. He never like, I don't know what the word is, like just turned away from him. And so, yeah, I would say for me, it's definitely been a process, but I think now I realize how much more impactful it is to actually continue to praise and worship in those hard moments, because that's what gets you through. That's what like uplifts and feeds your spirit more than anything else.
Yeah, and that's what also works on your character. Like that is where your character is being built. When mm-hmm. regardless of your situation, you still remain constant in your relationship with God. That's where, because if you're praising God just because it's good, literally everybody can do that, right?
Yeah.
The tables flip and you're still constant in your worship to God, that is when God is actually working on you and building your character to be the person he wants you to be.
It's so true. Yeah, exactly.
Mm. And you said something about circumstantial prayer, praise. Is that what you said? That is so good.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I can't take credit for that. I think it was like early in January. I don't know. I think I was going through like a very like mellow season. Like it wasn't like a bad season, but I think I just wasn't as connected with God, and I was like, I need to get back on track with God. And like when I praise and worship, like really like feel like I'm connected to him, and I feel like he said those words to me of like circumstantial praise, like that's what you've been doing. I was like, damn. Mm-hmm. God. I can't take credit for those words.
I love that. But I also love the fact that you said it's a process for you, because I feel like Sometimes when people talk about praising God, regardless of what you're feeling, we tend to make it sound as if it's a magic. It's like it's magic, like it happens magically. You just have to do it, like just do it. But it's not that easy. You know, it's like we take the human experience out of it. Like what I'm going through is really, 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 really hard. And the last thing I want to do is to pray and worship God. And every human being actually feels that. So it's not like it doesn't happen through magic, but it's a process. It's a muscle that you have to work over and over and over again. And as you continue to do it, you tend to get better at it. But you don't get better at it if you don't do it at all. You know, it's like it's a crazy paradox. It's crazy.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I would say if it's like a very difficult season, then I feel like in everyone's like hard times, you do like rely on God more and like maybe listen to worship more. I think for me, when it becomes more circumstantial, it's like, I haven't been as consistent in my time with God. Like I'm growing more. Like he's still there, but like I've been busy. Like maybe it's not being like as watching my spiritual life as much. And so I don't know. I think in those seasons where maybe I'm distracted, I'm caught up somewhere, that I'm not giving God as much praise as, you know, as I should be. But I think in times where it's like was like really, really hard, I think those times are probably where people connect more with God, just because like, you know, okay, you're the only one like, that can get me out of this or get me through this. But yeah, I don't know if you would relate to that as well.
I think for me, God like literally intentionally puts me in trouble so that I would praise and worship him, because if you grew up how I grew up, like in the church environment and all of that, I don't know if this is a privilege or if it's a blessing or whatever it is, but when I'm in trouble or when I'm in any situation, my first kind of response is to go to God. Like it's the first thing that comes into my head. It doesn't mean it's easier for me to go to God, like just that it's the first thing that drops in my head, like go to God, you know? That doesn't make it easier, but it comes into my head. And so when that happens, more often than never, I tend to do it, although sometimes it takes much longer than it's supposed to, but I tend to go to God. And so when I'm kind of drifting apart and or I'm too busy or I'm involved in too many things and I'm not getting time for God and spending time with him in my quiet time, he would intentionally put me in trouble or intentionally allow something bad to happen for that thought to come into my head. And I'd be like, okay, let's take a pause. When was the last time I had my quiet time? Good.
Yeah.
I quickly go back. So I feel like that's how it happens for me.
Yeah. No. I definitely agree. Like sometimes I even just think like the fact that our life needs to get to like a low point for us to be like, oh yeah, like I need God. Like God has to like shift us and wake us up. It's like, okay, well, we probably should be this consistent always, but
yeah, like
we'd be human beings.
I feel that all the time, and I feel like that is something that I really want to work on, but girl, it is not easy. It's not easy at all, because I want to mature to the point where God doesn't have to draw me back to him. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't have to drift away from him for him to put me in trouble, and then I go back to him. Like that cycle is just so exhausting. I just want to grow out of it. I want to mature out of that.
No, yeah, I can definitely relate to having been through that cycle. Even just like sometimes the thing about like when you know my there's always like that season of your life where you're like, okay, I was most connected or on fire to God in this season. I feel like it's always like during like your most lowest isolated point where you're like, wow, even though it was probably the worst time, but that's the time you were most connected to God. So it's like, okay, well, what's changed?
Yeah, maybe God does all of that for a reason. He knows how we are, and he uses those moments to get us to pay attention to him. But I'm just wondering if somebody can ever get to a point where they don't have to be in trouble before they remember God. I don't know if that's ever possible for human beings, because we can be full of ourselves sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think maybe just prayer. Because I feel like I wouldn't say that I'm perfect at it now, but I was definitely like, felt like I was always going in waves, like going back and forth for like hot and cold all the time. And then just really like being intentional with prayer and like also fasting as well. And just being like, I don't want to be I don't want to be going through these cycles again. Like, God, just help me. And like, just the idea that God will help us to, with our issue with Him. I don't know. I always find it like a bit crazy as well. But I guess the desire comes less from like, okay, like needing God like in this hard moments, and just like wanting like to spend time with God even when life is just good sometimes. So
yeah, I guess it takes time. And God is taking all of us through our own process. So at the end of the day, we're all going to get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we kind of like put everything together, how we can practically apply the fact that God is a prayer answering God. Like, we kind of touched on all of them. But at the end of the day, like I said before, the point is that if God could answer Paul and Silas in the prison, whilst they were in shackles, and send an earthquake, and then at the end of the day, he did not just rescue them, he rescued the jailer and his family and brought people and saved Saul from just that particular incident. If he was able to do that and it had amazing ripple effect, whatever thing that you're praying for God to do right now, trust and believe he's still a prayer answering God, and he's mm-hmm. gonna hear you.
You can never truly see like the full picture of how God is working or how he may release you from your bondage or a situation. Like, you could feel the tremors of an earthquake, like I was saying before, and not realize that, you know what, these tremors are actually like the release of someone else's imprisonment. And so, yeah, God is a prayer answering God, and just his way of opening the doors may be more interesting than you can see. It's not always like the conventional way of like, okay, someone unlocked the door, but like there might just be an earthquake and the door shake open. And so it's a good reminder in this life.
Yeah, that's really good. I was about to move on, but then I remembered that since we're talking about God being a prayer answering God, we might as well just touch a little bit on the fact that God might not answer your prayers exactly how you want him to answer your prayers. And sometimes no is an answer. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I hope you enjoy the conversation I had with Claudia. Claudia, thank you so much for doing this with me. You have no idea how much it means to me. I really appreciate you. Your zeal and your passion for Christ is so inspirational. I love you. I think you're beautiful and you're smart, and I can't wait to continue to have these types of conversation with you. Girl, thank you so much. And I really wish you all the best in everything that you do. I pray that you continue to live for God and that God continues to blow your mind in every aspect of your life. And to you who are listening to this episode, thank you so much for listening. If you liked it, please share and subscribe to the podcast and share it with everybody that you know. Again, the song that we discussed is called My God Is Still the Same by Sanctus Will. If you love the song, add it to your Spotify playlist or whatever playlist that you have and listen to it. And I promise you, you're going to get inspired by it. And now that you've listened to this podcast, every single lyric in that song is going to mean something to you. So it's even so much better for you to listen to it now. So thank you so much for doing this with me, Claudia. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll come your way another day, another time with another episode. Until then, be safe, be happy, be you. Bye.